Good evening or afternoon, whatever time this will be making it to you via the radio waves. My name is Alexander Larson. I'm from Morningstar Baptist Church. And as always, it is an honor and a privilege to be able to come to you today and just preach the gospel, the whole account of the Word of God. Here we do not compromise the Bible. We do not take parts out of the Bible. I've been told by many preachers we don't have a Swiss cheese Bible here. We don't cut holes in the things that just don't agree with the world. Because my Bible tells me that if your church is agreeing with the world, it's not of God. But let me open up in a word of prayer real quick. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for entrusting me with this responsibility, Lord. I thank you for entrusting me with the ability to preach the gospel and reach many people, Lord. I just pray you would use me today. I pray you would empty me of self. You would help me to be a help, not for my glory, but for all the glory, honor, and praise of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're going to be in Amos chapter 5. Our text verses are going to be 18 through 24. But right before I get into that, Amos is known as a minor prophet. It's one of the lesser known prophets, lesser preached on prophets. But the verses I'm going to be in today are anything but minor. They are severe. They have heavy consequences. And we should take any scripture that is written in this Bible, we should take it to heart 100%. But the scriptures I'm going to read tonight, they should really make a pastor pray harder for their church. They should make a Christian believer search deeper for the will of God in their life. The world is full of fake and dead, stuck in the mud, run-of-the-mill churches, and a bunch of them are led by wolves. Led by wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, which is a very, very dangerous thing for the flock. A very dangerous thing. But let me get into our text verse here. Amos 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion, and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and the serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beast. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. What we have here is a very powerful text of Scripture. Very powerful, and a very, really, if you're uncertain of your salvation, a very scary Scripture. We need to be careful for what we wish for. We need to be careful for what we wish for. Back to verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. We have heard our whole lives how great and wonderful and magnificent and glorious the day of the Lord will be, the second coming of Christ when He comes down and calls us up to the rapture and we are in glory forever. How amazing and wonderful that will be, all because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago for your sin and my sin and every sin that is in the world today and yesteryear and future. Every sin was bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. If you are saved, it will be glorious. If you are saved, you will walk for eternity with the Lord Himself. You will have no more pain. You will have no more aches. You won't need them glasses anymore. You won't need hip replacements anymore. You won't need anything anymore. You will be in perfect perfection with the Lord Himself. If you are saved. Back to verse 18. The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Darkness and not light. These people, they're worshiping under a false prophet to a false god in the wrong way here. And the problem is, they think they're doing right. They think that they're going to go to heaven. They think the day of the Lord is going to be wonderful. The truth of the matter is, just because you go to church does not mean you are saved. Just because you are in church does not mean you're going to heaven. Day after day, hundreds of people slide off a Baptist pew right into the pits of hell. Right into the pits of hell. They hold on to a 1-2-3 prayer they prayed as a child and never knew the awesome presence of God in their life. Here, the day of the Lord means imminent destruction, and for the faithful, the day of the Lord means bliss eternity. Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. How sad, humbling, and heartbreaking is it that Jesus Himself would say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew 23:33. Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Hell is a place I do not want to go, my friends. I want nothing to do with it. I do not want to go. It's a never-ending sorrow, Mark 9:44. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The fire never stops burning. The agony never stops coming. The torture is endless. The pain is endless. The suffering is endless. Why would you want to do that? Why would you bank on a 1-2-3 prayer as a child when there was no change in your life, when there was no indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you, if you can get away with sin and the Lord does not chasten you, if you can get away with sin and you do not get quenched by the Holy Spirit, I'd be getting into an altar today. I cannot say anybody's salvation but mine, but I will say, if you do not know that you know without a shadow of a doubt, without 100% certainty, that you will be in heaven forever because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't use that to get you to Walmart tonight. I would not use it to get you across the street. That is the most thing I would, in my life, make sure I have certain and right. So what end is it for you? Back in verse 18, to what end is it for you the day of the Lord is darkness and not light? That is a question to all of us, not to just the believer, but to every person that walks God's green earth. What end is it for you? Do you know where you are going? Are you sure you are saved? Now it's time to ask yourself this. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. This is 2 Corinthians 6:2. And in the days of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. And in the day of salvation have I secured you. Behold, now is the accepted time of salvation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is when you need to get right with the Lord. Do you know how many drug addicts died today saying tomorrow they're going to get sober? Do you know how many people said tomorrow they're going to get right with the Lord and tomorrow never came? We are not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are. None of us are guaranteed the next 10 minutes. We're not guaranteed the time that it's going to take to preach this message. We're not guaranteed that. The Lord can take us home at any time, any place, anywhere, no matter what you're doing, whether you are ready or not, He is coming. Today is the time. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God can hate. Now, I know this is not popular preaching. I know it's not. But it's truth. God can hate. Verse 21 and 23. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I guard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away me the noise of thy songs. I will not hear the melody of thy vows. Imagine the Lord rejecting what you offer Him. Imagine the sorrow of that, the severity of that. We hear preached often how God is love and peace, and this is true without a shadow of a doubt. John 3:16, but God does hate certain things. His wrath and His might is great. Proverbs 6:16-19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deceive wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God is far more than love. God will bring judgment to this world. God will bring judgment to every single one of us. There will be a day we will have to face Jesus Christ. We will have to stand before the judgment seat. God is severe in His judgment. God is far more than love. God is far more. You might be given an offering to the Lord. As verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings. They were giving offerings to the Lord. Are you doing it for the right reason? Are you giving offerings to be seen giving offerings? Are you putting a check in the plate so people see you put that check in the plate so you can get a tax return at the end of the year? Or are you doing it to serve the Lord? Are you doing it because He commanded us to do it? Are you doing it for the benefit of yourself or for the glory of God? Because if you're doing it for the benefit of yourself, you're doing it in vain. Vain, which means produces no fruit. Empty, vain. Are you doing it in vain reasons? A false prophet. A false prophet is something we all should be worried about. We all should be on the lookout of. We all should know the signs of a false prophet. A false prophet is something we should be aware of daily. Preacher, why do you say that? Well, the Bible warns of this. When the Bible warns me of something, I'm interested. I want to know what He's warning me of. I want to know how to defeat it. I want to know how to spot it. I want to know how to deflect it. The Bible warns us of false prophets. The Bible warns us. The devil himself can take what the Lord says and twist it to burn us alive. Twist it to destroy you. Twist it to put that temptation in your life to get you to turn away from Christ. Twist it to make you leave your loved ones, to leave your wife, to leave the church. The devil can do this. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets. Right there. He's warning you. Beware of false prophets. Black and white, plain as could be. Simple. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. Ravaging wolves. What do ravaging wolves do? They eat the weak. They prey on the nimble and the sick and the hurt. They prey on the smallest of the group. Ravaging wolves will attack you. They will devour you, consume you. Beware of false prophets, for they are ravaging wolves. Now you may be going, preacher, this is getting kind of heavy and hard here. How do I know when I see a false prophet? Well, it's simple. Brother Cam, it's so simple. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Understand what truth is. Know what truth is, and you can spot a false prophet. Know your doctrine. Have sound doctrine. Study your Bible. Do not take for granted your Bible, this precious, living, breathing word that drips with the blood of the innocent, this precious word that God Himself inspired the penmanship of, that He Himself allows us to read, to study, to learn from. The Bible is powerful. It is amazing. Verse 24. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. We cannot escape judgment. For the believer and the non-believer. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5. Therefore judge not before the time unto the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. The Lord knows everything. He knows all. He knows our deepest wicked desires. He knows our sins. He knows it all. But He paid for those sins with His blood. Salvation is free, but it cost a life. It cost a great cost. It cost Jesus Himself to leave godly form, to come down as man, to be beaten, bruised, to be stabbed, to be given vinegar to drink, to be held in council, to be called guilty, to be spat upon for your sins, for my wicked sins. He did this. He did this. Down as the waters. Water is one of the most powerful things in the world. You may not think that because you go to your tap, you turn it on, you get you a cold glass of water, and it don't seem too powerful right there. It's nice. It's wonderful. It's life. Water is life, but water is power. Preacher, I want an example. Well, I'm glad you asked. You ever heard of a place called Grand Canyon? Grand Canyon. What did that? Water did that. The power of water can carve a rock into nothingness. It can carve a rip into the earth that we cannot jump over, we cannot swim over, we cannot climb over. Water is powerful. Water in abundance can wipe out entire cities. It can sink entire islands. It can destroy the entire earth. In the days of Noah, water was used to destroy the entire earth. That's how powerful it is. We can't live without water, but we can't live in water. Water is powerful. Water is powerful. Down as the waters. and righteous as a mighty stream. Who is the mighty stream? Jesus Himself is the mighty stream. If you get a drink from the precious water of Jesus Christ, you will never thirst again. You will never search for sin again. You will not want anything of this world anymore. Now, I'm not saying the Christian life is perfect. I'm not saying you will not have hard times anymore. I'm not saying the devil will not try to attack you anymore. But I am saying the happiest you will ever be in your life is when you turn to Jesus Christ, when you give your all to Jesus Christ, when you call upon His name when the times are hard and you're weak in the knees and He gives you strength. That is when you can glorify in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you saved? I come to you tonight humbly as I know how, and I've asked this question of you. Are you saved? Are you in the right church? Are you going to church to be seen or to see the Lord? Where will you be on judgment day? In the dark or in glory? When God comes, will it be darkness for you or will it be light? Finally here, if you answered no to any of these questions, if you answered no to about being saved, if you answered no maybe, if you have to put a maybe in there, don't bank on it. You have to know that you're saved. It's the most important thing in your life. It's more important than your job, than your house, than your car, than your bank account. Without it, you might be happy because sin is good for a season. But when that season ends, it will be misery, it will be darkness, and then it will be followed by eternal damnation for the rest of time that rolls on forever and ever. You have to know that you're saved. First off, I cannot save you. I cannot save you. Your pastor cannot save you. Your mother cannot save you. Your praying grandma cannot save you. Your friend, your wife, your beloved, they cannot save you. But there's a man named Jesus Christ that can, the only one that can, the one that will, the one that wants to, the one that died for you, the one that came down from glory for you. He can save you. He can save you. You're like, preacher, how? I need to know how. I thought I was saved, but I don't want to bank on a thought. I want to know. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the way. We have all sinned. Every single one of us have sinned and need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's salvation. We need His guidance. We need His protective hand. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all the time. And that's all will ever mean. There's not one person that took a breath of life in this world other than Jesus Christ that has not sinned. Every one of us have. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans 10:9-10. Preacher, I know it's Jesus. I know I've sinned. What do I do? Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's simple. We must first believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must first believe in Him. We have to know that we're a sinner. We have to know that we are doomed for hell. Not just doomed for hell, but we deserve hell. We have to know that. We have to confess our sins and repent from them. We have to accept the love of Jesus Christ. Now I've said this verse. Don't wait. Whatever you do, don't wait. Don't wait. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait to change your life, because your time might and will run out. Hell is full of people whose time ran out. Hell is full of people who tomorrow they were going to get saved. Hell is full of people. Hell is full of procrastination and people that waited to be saved. Said one more day of sin, one more day of enjoying the flesh, one more day of the lust that I desire, one more day, send them straight to hell. We are not guaranteed one more day. The only thing we are guaranteed is every word that is written in His precious book. The only thing we are guaranteed is that a man on a cross 2,000 years ago died for our sin, was willing to die for our sin, and wanted you to be saved. He wants to see you in glory. He wants that none should perish, that none should fall to the world, that none should spend eternity in heaven. That's what we can bank on. We can bank on Jesus Christ. We can bank on the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you get that, death is no more a worry in your life. The sweetest peace you can have. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Praise the Lord, I no longer fear death. I no longer fear death because I have been given victory over death through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again for this opportunity You've given me. Lord, I just ask that You would use this time to help someone, Lord. That You would use this time to pierce the hearts of someone on the way to hell, Lord. Not through me, but through the glory of Jesus Christ Himself, Lord. I pray that You would speak to that heart today. Lord, that You would reach down and save that sinner on the way to hell. Lord, that You would reach down and touch that person that thinks tomorrow's the day that they'll get right, Lord. I pray You and only You will do this, and You will get all praise, honor, and glory for all that You've done and will do. I thank You again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The drunk on the street, rich in their palaces, poor and unlearned, men of degrees, they all have a soul in need of salvation, and they all have to come by Calvary. Forgiveness, I so wrong? But I lived in sin's prison, I was as lost.